This morning, I would like to share from the Word of God. And the title of my message is, Where Do We Go From Here? We've been here for quite a while, and some of you might be new to this church. When I say new, I don't mean this is your first Sunday. I mean that you might be coming here for a few months, and some of you are. I actually met a family this morning. This is their third time here, and they said, we love it here. And we're just so blessed to have you in our midst. But this morning, I would like to share my heart with you. Where do we go from here? And this thoughts and this scripture has been on my mind and on my heart for quite a while. I've been just pondering upon this scripture. And as a pastor, whenever I ponder upon the church and what this community is all about, one thing that I'm reminded of, that this church, it's God's church. It's not my church. It's not the Collins church. It's not the Delina's church. It's not the Wilkerson's church. It is the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. And whenever when we come to that place to know that this is Christ's church, we understand in a deeper way that we must be led by the Spirit to be able to see the fruit of what God is trying to do in our community, in our midst. It's not a human effort. This was not birthed by a human idea, but the Church of Jesus Christ was birthed by the power of the Holy Spirit and Christ Himself. We are His body, and we are His followers. We are His disciples. And so often, when people come and share, let's do this or let's do that. One of my heart desires is, as much as I would like to do all of those things, that is this God's idea? Is this God's idea or this is just our idea? It doesn't have to be a bad idea to do the things. It could be great ideas that we can be busy of doing things. But one thing I'm reminded as Pastor Carter, years back, he shared that one day when we stand before the Lord and we might bring a resume and we might be sharing, God, I did this. I did this for you. I did this in the kingdom of the Lord. I did this in your kingdom. I did all of these things. I was so busy being a Christian. And in response, you would think that the Lord would be, great job, Pavel. You did great. No, his response would be, were you faithful in the things I've asked you to do? So it's not in the quantity of the things that we do, but in the quality of the things that the Lord has called us to do. And it could be a small thing, and sometimes as believers, we can get discouraged being involved even in the smallest thing because we compare things or we measure things through human eyes. Because everything that is great, everything that is big, everything that is a lot of effort, everything that it's a show, we think is great. And it's great to a degree. But the Lord looks at the heart. And He looks at those things that He's asked us to do in the little things. And if we do them and if we plugged in the body of Jesus Christ to that degree, we will reap joy. And one of the evidence in a believer's heart that I'm convinced of, then when we do what we've called to do, it doesn't mean that we're not gonna see hardships. It's not that we're gonna avoid the difficult moments and the conflict that all of us might encounter here and there. Deep inside of our hearts, there will be joy. Joy. And sometimes God might call us for a season. And sometimes God might call us for a lifetime to do certain things. For example, Moses. Moses was called for 40 days to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. Now, because of their talent, if I can put it that way, to be able to push against the will of the Lord and complaining and murmuring and wanting the Egypt, it took them 40 years. But the original call was 40 days. And often we think that whenever when God has called us, it's almost like we sign up. It's our career. No, our career is to be believers and disciples of Jesus Christ. But he might call us for a season to do a specific thing. Will I be obedient to do just that? He might call us to do for a year or two or all of our lives. Will we be faithful to do just that? So it's not in the quantity of things that we do, but in the quality of things to his obedience in response. To say, Lord, have your way. And I'll be open with you this morning that at times I get discouraged whenever when you look around and you hear this congregation is doing all of these things and that congregation is doing all of these things. You listen to some podcast maybe like me and you're hearing all of the things that to be the greatest and the greatest in the kingdom of God like some disciples wanted to be. What should we do to be the greatest in your kingdom? And I feel like with social media, like never before, it's almost a competition in the body of Jesus Christ, who is the greatest. How we can achieve those goals that are others. But can I say this? Maybe they're called to do that. We're not, and it's okay. Maybe they're called to do specific things that they're doing and they're doing well. It doesn't mean that everybody has to do that. But for us to find out what we are to do as a congregation in Granville, Pennsylvania, as Times Square Church Summit Campus, there is one thing that the Word of God is calling us to do that we must find out, and that's through prayer. It's not looking at different churches and different congregations. It's not to listen to all this podcast of how to be the greatest leader. All of those things are great resources. But if they're tearing us down instead of building us up, we're missing something. But all of us are to come to a place in prayer and to say, God, this is your church. We are your church. You have called us for such a time as this. Now lead us and guide us. Let me take a step further and remind all of us that this ministry of Pastor David Wilkerson, when it was started, it was not started on ideas and strategies, but it was started in prayer. God began to move in the heart of Pastor David to put the TV away and to pray. Whenever when the Teen Challenge was birthed, it was not 50 steps to success, but it was to prayer and deliverance and fasting, and miracles were happening. But let me be clear as well. I'm not against 5 steps, as long as all of them include prayer. As long as all of them include the Spirit of the Lord to fill a person and believe that God is only able to free a person once and for all. Because the Bible says, if He makes us free, then we are free indeed. Hallelujah. I'm all for all of the things, and we need each other. We need to help each other. We need to help each other to be accountable. But we are mistaken whenever when we put our trust only in the systems and leave the Spirit of God out of it. And we limit the Lord. We limit what God can do through prayer. And let me share this before I read, that prayer is not only when we gather here on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning, but praying in our walk with the Lord, praying during the day, praying when we are at work, praying when we mow the land, praying when we are farming, praying when we're doing things that we are to do to bring food on our table. But to have this mind of always towards the Lord, the God, we are who we are because of you. And without you, we are lost. And I would like to read from the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and down. And we're gonna be looking at the disciples and what happened in their lives and how God empowered the church during that time, the first church. And I think that we can learn a lot from the Word of God. The book of Acts chapter 1 verse 4 and down says this. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he has said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Let me stop here for a second. In different words, John can represent a person that does things, but only can offer things that are tangible, only can offer things that are visible, only can offer things that we can see around. But it also says that God desires to baptize you with the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is such an awkward topic for so many to touch, because we have seen in the name of the Holy Spirit so many things that has been done to the body of Jesus Christ that so often believers want to stay away from this topic. But brothers and sisters, without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we cannot stand in the day we live in. We must be empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. We must come every day, God, fill me with your Spirit. Help me to be led by the Spirit. Help me to be aware of your presence, as our general overseer reminds us so often. What a beautiful prayer in the mornings when we pray as elders and pastors on a phone call. One of the prayers, help us today to be aware of your Spirit. It's not that his Spirit is not there, but because we became so used to our lifestyle that we're not even aware that he's there. But our prayer should be, fill us with your Spirit and help us to be aware of your presence. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and season which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all the Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is amazing thought that the disciples has come with a natural reasoning. Is this the time that you're gonna come and install your kingdom here on earth? If this is the time that you're gonna do something very, very powerful, that it is visible, that represents our own strength, that represents our own kingdom, that represents this thing that we wanna do and be proud of. But he says, no, it's not the time for you to know. But this time and the seasons are known only to my Father when he's gonna do that. But for you, what you should be interested of, but for you that you should be desiring of, it is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Because it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And when the power of the Lord comes upon us, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it is such a thing that we cannot contain it just for ourselves, but we desire to share with others. In our character, with our emotions, with our personalities, we might not be driven people to share the gospel with other people. On our own, we might be timid, we might be shy, but to whatever degree, the Holy Spirit is gonna help us to be those witnesses to those that are in need of salvation. Praise be to God. Verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in a white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This is the same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Praise be to God for this promise. Praise be to God. The disciples maybe were looking, is this the really last time we're gonna see you? But no, he's coming back, and our eyes will see him, and we shall be with him forever. Hallelujah, what a promise. Verse 12, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mountain called Olive, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartimaeus, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. This all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman, Mary, and the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So it was a moment they understood They came to a place to make conclusions in their life, to say, we better get a hold of the promise of the Lord. Because whenever when Jesus was crucified, they scattered in disappointment, they scattered in fear, they scattered in confusion. But whenever when Jesus appeared to them again after resurrection, and the Bible talks, Apostle Paul talks about the resurrection. If it wasn't for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our faith would have been in vain. And this is where their trust was, in a place of shaking, in a place of being confused after Jesus was crucified. But Jesus appeared to them after resurrection and reminded again to them, listen, I am with you. You're not alone. I am with you. But as you scattered after my crucifixion, you don't have the power on your own to stand. You don't have what it takes to be bold for me. You must be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit to be able to stand boldly to proclaim my gospel. And now, after they were comforted, the Bible says, instead of them dispersing again, they went a day's journey back to Jerusalem, to the upper room, and they were waiting for that moment to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He also talks to me that of that intimate relationship with the Lord. This morning with the pastors and elders, when we were in the back room here praying for the service, one of the prayers that I prayed, God, I don't want to do just things to do, but whatever what you are empowering, whatever what you are leading us to, give us the grace to do just that. We're waiting for the moment to say, God, we don't want to go, we don't want to do, we don't want to come up with ideas if it's just from our mind. But we want to do the things that you have called us to do. And we're asking you now, as we're in this season of praying and fasting and seeking your face, reveal to us your heart. Reveal to us, what do you have for Grandville, Pennsylvania? Reveal to us, what do you have for this specific church that is such a unique church that in a few weeks we're going to have students from all over the world coming here, close to 100 students, to be taught from the Word of God. And us as a congregation, we must give them what a healthy church must look like. We can't just teach theology downstairs in a classroom. We must exhibit how do we live that theology here with the brothers and sisters from this community. So many of them, they are coming from backgrounds of churches and bodies that they're disappointed, they've been hurt, they've been burned, if I can put it that way. And they're coming with an open heart of desperation for the Lord to teach them. And they're going to learn from the Word of God, but they're going to learn from us as a body how to walk and put practically what they're learning downstairs. Oh God Almighty, help us to understand that this church in this community is not in vain, but we are called for such a time as this, for a specific moment, to exhibit practically what it means to live this life, that it's possible to live a victorious life. Hallelujah. It's possible. So many of them, they're living through failure. So many of them, they have so much baggage that in their background that they're not proud of, and they want to hear and know how to live a victorious life. And we are the church. We are the body of Christ to say that through the power of God, we can achieve just that. Hallelujah. Now, if you can open up with me, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 and down. When the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And I want to talk to you a little bit in the end in more detail. But in the next few weeks, we're going to gather here as a church in one place with one accord for 3 days of prayer and fasting. And we're going to be asking the Lord to lead us, and we're going to be waiting for that moment to say, God, we want your mind. We want to be led by your Spirit. And we're going to gather here as our congregation to say, God, we are here in one accord, in one place. Pour out your Spirit one more time. Guide us and lead us. We are desperate for you. When the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them a divine tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. As whom gave them utterance? The Spirit. It's so important. It's so important that even when we're filled by the Spirit, it's the Spirit that leads us. Think of that. Even when we're filled by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not us who control, it's not us who lead, but it's the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God who leads. It's the Spirit of God who gives utterance. Verse 5, and there were dwellings in Jerusalem, Jews, devoted men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitudes came together and were confused because everyone heard them speaking in their own languages. I want to stop here for a moment. It is so important here. The Bible says that when this happened, people were notified of that. Not because they were told, but because they heard. They heard, oh, my brother, my sister, my heart desire is this, that people will hear what is happening at Times Square Church Summit Campus, at Times Square Church New Jersey, at Times Square Church in New York City, and in the body of Christ around the world. We're not special because we're in Granville. We're special because we're believers. And my heart desire is, God, pour out your Spirit one more time upon your church, upon your church. That whenever when things are gonna be happening in this room, that people will hear from the community what's happening and they will come to the acceptance and the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Hallelujah. We need one more time for the Church of Jesus Christ to be sensitive and to be moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's to say, God, I have this agenda, I have this program, but what do you say? What do you say? So often when we come to work and if we have our own bosses, often we have the list of our jobs and the things, the responsibilities that we have. But one of my principles, whenever when I have meetings with the Collins as they're my overseers, I might have these ideas, but I come to them and I say, this is what I have, but what do you say? What do you think? Do you feel a witness? This morning we had a meeting with our team. I shared my heart and one of the questions that I say, do you guys have a witness of what God is doing in this community? If we're doing this naturally among us as peers, as people, how much more? How much more we are to come to the Lord whenever when we have ideas, whenever when we have things in our life through prayer to say, God, what about you? What do you think about this? What do you think about this vision? What do you think about my plans? What do you think about my agenda? Is it pleasing to you? Is it bringing honor to your name? Are you in it? Are you bringing life through all of these things that I'm gonna do? And it's so important for us to say, God, do just that. Because when we do that, people will hear what's happening. As they've heard, whenever when the wind came and the Holy Spirit filled the hearts of the disciples, people began to hear. And not only that, but they began to hear in their own languages. In different words, we will begin to speak a language of the gospel of Jesus Christ that people are gonna understand and they're gonna come to the knowledge and acceptance of the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 6, and when this sound occurred, the multitudes came together and were confused because everyone heard them speaking in their own languages. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own languages in which we were born? Later on in verse 9 says this, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, in verse 11, Cretans and Arabs were heard from speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My brothers, my sisters, I want to share this now, that so often people hear the biting. People hear the division. People hear the things that are going on in the body at times. And this is an excuse for them at times not to come to church, not to follow Jesus Christ. But over here it says, because they were united and they were empowered by the Holy Spirit, the people began to hear the wonderful works of God. And this is my desire, that people around us will hear from our mouth, from our walk with the Lord, the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocked, said, they're all full of new wine. You will have those that will mock us. But it's worth it. It is worth it. Because when we see one sinner come to the Lord, it is worth it all. Hallelujah. But Peter, standing up with the 12, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall receive visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And to my manservant and to my maidservant, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heavens above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall not be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this is our promise that in the day we live in everything that is going on around us, our desire is that whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, that they shall be saved. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. We desire for people to be saved. Now verse 40 and down of the same chapter says this. And with many other words, they testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued in steadfastly in apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. Let's stop here for a moment. It is an amazing thing that Peter began to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden a revival broke out and 3,000 people came to the Lord. And they begin to be baptized. Hallelujah. Isn't it an amazing thing that whenever when we are in unity, whenever when we show up together, whenever when we understand that we have a purpose as the body of Jesus Christ, and one purpose out of many is for people to get saved and for us to share this hope that we have in Him. It is an amazing thing that throughout the New Testament, throughout the preaching of the apostles, it doesn't appear that they were sharing a lot of Jesus loves you, even though there was a foundation, and it is the foundation of the gospel. It's almost like that should be the foundation for all of us, that Jesus loves you. But so often they were calling out in authority and in power the sins of the world. They were calling out the mixture. They were calling out the people that were living in sin. And they were saying, repent, because if you don't, God is not gonna be for you. Repent and turn to the Lord because He desires to save you. Their message was a strong message. Their message was a message of boldness to call out the sin in loving attitude. Praise be to God. So often we preach the gospel. We must share this gospel and we make it so soft that there is no difference between the world and to be a believer. You look at a Christian at times, or a believer that calls themselves Christians, and there is no fruit. My brother, my sister, it breaks my heart to share this. Since when do we came to a point in our lives to think, as long as I have called on the name of the Lord, I can live how I want? There should be fruit in a believer's life. There must be fruit in a believer's life. And if there is no fruit, I don't know if you're saved. And I'm saying this in kindness and in love. If I'm dabbling with sin, if I live in immorality, if I live in all of these things, and I'm not talking about a believer that struggles, I'm not talking about a believer that goes through moments, but he desires to live right, he desires to be empowered and to live a victorious life. I'm talking for a believer that has no conviction whatsoever. That they call themselves believers, but they live like the world. There is no difference. My brother, my sister, let us question that. Let us be believers that will say among us, that's not what Christianity is about. But Christianity is about to live a victorious life through the power of the Holy Spirit and to bear fruit worthy of repentance. Hallelujah. And in my closing now, I'm not going to read all the scriptures that I intended to read. But in my closing now, if you can open up with me, Acts chapter 16, verse 25 and down. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 and down says this. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. As the prisoners were listening to them, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosened. I want to stop here for a moment. It was Paul and Silas that were doing that. It doesn't say that the other prisoners, they were singing and praying. Let me take a step further. Other prisoners that were there, they probably were there for different reasons, and most likely they were not even believers. And it's not the most likely they were not believers, because later on I'm going to read how they became believers. But what strikes me, because they were believers, Paul and Silas, in that prison, because they were empowered by the Holy Spirit, because they were dependent upon the Lord, not only they were affected by the deliverance that came from heaven, but the people around them were affected. And that is impacting my life as I'm reading this. That whenever when we are following Jesus, it's not just only impacting my life, but it should impact the people around us. My desire is that one more time we're gonna see that not only God is gonna answer our prayer through whatever what we're going through, but we're gonna see how God is gonna answer the prayers whenever when we're praying of those that are around us, that are chained, that are addicted, that are far away from Him, that are imprisoned spiritually, that we're gonna see that as the Lord is answering our prayer, people around us are affected by it, because God is coming down through the power of the Holy Spirit answering our prayer. Hallelujah. Verse 27, and the keepers of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prisoners' doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to take his life. But Paul called with a loud voice saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Let's stop here for a moment. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes and He works in our life, do you think that Paul and Silas did not wanna leave that prison? Don't you think that they had other plans where they wanted to be? The prison was the last place they wanted to be. But now whenever when God began to do miraculous things, even when the door was open, they were not so quick to run away. They were not so quick to say, I'm leaving this place. But they were sensitive to the Holy Spirit to be aware of what God is doing in their midst. Even where the doors were opened, they were still there. They were still there. They were still there ministering and saying, do not take your life. We're all here. We're not gonna do this on our own. But if God supernaturally began to do something, He's gonna continue to do something in your life. Hallelujah. Verse 29, then he called for a light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And if it was, there was darkness there. And he brought them out and said, sir, What must I do to be saved? It's the same call that happened whenever when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and people were asking, what must I do to be saved? When Peter was preaching the gospel. And now it's the same call, what must I do to be saved? My brother, my sister, there is the same call around us in Granville, Hershey, Lebanon, Harrisburg, Hummelstown, Bethel, Lancaster, and around the world. It's the same call that people are crying out, what must I do to be saved? And we have the answer for that. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his families were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Hallelujah. The strategy did not change in 21st century. But I believe that we've moved away to a degree from the principles of the first church in the New Testament. And we became busybodies of doing things when God maybe have not called us to do those things. And everything became about strategies. Everything became about filling the pews with thousands of people. And we have lost to a degree the sensitivity of witnessing people walking in freedom, bearing fruit for the kingdom of God, worthy of repentance. It saddens my heart that often we, especially in the Western world, and we move to places like that because there's a lot of financial gain to have large churches. Because once you start a machine like that, you have to upkeep a machine like that. And it comes a moment where there's so many people still in prison. They're still in bondage. They're not born again. And we do a disservice to a degree. Whenever when we share that everything is fine with you, as long as you give your tithes, as long as you're gonna come and contribute something, as long as we're gonna tickle your ears, because in the last days there will be people and prophets that will rise, that will speak messages that will be so convenient to people. In different words, messages that will confirm your lifestyle, the way you wanna live. But that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel, my brother, my sister. The apostles began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that gospel included supernatural deliverance for people. Whenever when they came to Jesus Christ, they were born again. And there was fruit in their life. They were not perfect. They were far from perfect. Even the disciples were far from perfect. I am far from perfect, but my heart desire, God, always keep me close to you. I never want to get used to this thing. I never want to come into a place to care more what you think than what the Lord thinks. I never want to come to a place to be able to have the interest just as long as this church is filled with people. And for that to happen, I have to preach a gospel of mixture. God forbid. I was talking with a friend of mine, Jeremy. He visited us the other day and his dad is pastoring a church in Virginia. And there's only about 40 or 60 people in their church. And all of his life he's been laboring and faithfully serving. And I said, I have such a new appreciation for pastors that pastor a small church. Because we belong to Jesus too. As small as we are. Not only mega church, not only all those big things. Not only those things that are online we see. But be encouraged. As long as we have the power of the Holy Spirit, that's what matters. Hallelujah. As long as we're walking with the Lord and we're bearing the fruit of the Spirit in our life, that's what matters. As long as we desire Him and as long as we love Him, that's what matters. And if we are faithful to the little thing that God has entrusted us to, that's the reward. That's where the reward is. It's not seeking the great things, but to seek the faithfulness, to be faithful in what God has called us. And my desire is for God to fill this church with new believers. And this is the prayer this new year, this year till the new years. We're going to be praying, God, fill this church with new believers. We want to see conversions. We want to see people set free. We want to see chains fall down. We want to see your Holy Spirit fill this house. That the world is going to get around to say God is doing something supernaturally in this church. And that's why I'm going to call this church for a 3-day prayer and fasting. If you can take your phones and your pens and write this down and take a note and not only write this down, but show up. Show up. August 4th, Sunday evening. August 5th, Monday evening. August 6th, Tuesday evening. And then on Wednesday, we're gonna come together to the worldwide prayer meeting, praying together for the world. I know what you're thinking, that August 4th is the family Sunday and we're gonna have a potluck. Yes, we're having that. We're still gonna come and be fed spiritually, and we're still gonna go downstairs and be fed physically. And then in the evening, we're gonna fast our dinner and come together at 7 o'clock to 8:30 each night to pray. I don't have all the prayer points. I just feel led to do this. And we're just going to be praying, God, fill us with your power. Fill us with your Spirit. God, we pray that you would lead our minds, that you will lead every ministry of the church. And if there's something that you're calling us specifically to do, would you open up to us that? And not just open up to us, but would you give me now, give me the discipline to get plugged in. Some of you are coming to me and you're saying this is your home church. You're ready to get involved. You're ready to serve in whatever capacity. And this will be the time to say, God, make it clear to me. We're not going to do things just to do. I promise you that. But whatever where we feel, if God is leading us towards some of the things to do, we want to be obedient to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And you don't have to fast all the 3 days if you can't for different reasons. If you would like to just fast a meal, do that. But take the time to pray. To pray. And we're going to say, God, lead this church. And the third thing, not only for us, not only for guidance, but also for revival in our community. That people will say, what shall we do to be saved? That we would have the answer. And that we would go to the principles of the first apostles. How the church was birthed. The church was birthed with Christ. The church was birthed empowered by the Spirit of God. And the church was sustained till this moment through the power of Christ. And that's how we want to go forward till He takes us home. Amen. Father, you are our God. We come to you this morning. We humble ourselves before you and we're seeking your way. We're seeking your direction. We're seeking your plan. We're seeking your heart. But also we seek you, O Father. We desire to be empowered by your Spirit, not for ourselves, but for the sake of others. That we will have the grace and the strength to go and share this gospel with those that are dying. Those that are hopeless. Lord, we live in such a world that we need your power to be exhibited through our lives. We need you, Holy Spirit. And I want to take a moment to thank you for each family that calls this their home church. I want to thank you for our children. I want to thank you for your presence in our midst. I want to thank you that you have sent people our way. I want to thank you, Father, for your presence in our midst and for what you're doing in our midst. But God, I want to ask you, and we want to ask you together, that you will continue to lead us, that you would continue to keep us in a place where we are thirsty for you, that we will always be dependent upon you, O Father. I pray, O Father, as we're gonna go into a day of praying and fasting in August, Lord, I pray that you would hear our prayer, that you would pour out your Spirit upon this community, and that you would send revival in our community, O Father. That we would witness people getting saved through the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray, O Father, that we would witness how people are getting born again. That the joy that the angels are experiencing in heaven, that we would experience here, O Father. Because when one sinner comes to the Lord, the whole heaven rejoices. Help us, O Father. Help us, O Lord, to come to a place where we can understand the value of one soul. Oh God, baptize us with this anguish that only can come from you. An understanding of the value of one. Oh God, I pray that we would be encouraged and filled with joy when one comes to you. And I pray, O Lord, that we would always honor you. That we will always preach this word. That we will always share the scriptures the way you have written it through the power of the Holy Spirit and empowering men to do that. God, we agree with your gospel. With your gospel. We love you this morning.